This podcast is brought to you with little to no funding from Virginia Tech's Urban Affairs and Planning International Development course. Hey guys, I'm Samantha.
And I'm Laurie.
And we are here today to talk to you about world events. Now, you're probably wondering, why are we doing this?
Because as young people, it is your responsibility to know what is going on in the world and try and figure out how you can help make the world a better place.
So Laurie, what are we specifically going to talk about on today's show?
We are going to talk about fragile states and refugees.
What?
I know. Buckle up, kids. It is showtime.
Okay, so what does it mean to be a fragile state?
Well, a great way to think about fragile states can be heard from Dr. Chris Wernstedt, who teaches international development at Virginia Tech. And he said,
oftentimes the international development class doesn't cover fragile states. But ironically, one could say this should be the basis of talking about international development, which is about, you know, countries either with or without development assistance improving their quality of life, their quality of institutions, their public health and nutrition. And that all presupposes a state that's not so fragile that it can't do that. And with fragile states, that presupposition or that assumption is flawed in the sense that it's very, very difficult, almost by definition, for these states to develop. And yet they're also the ones that have the most extreme poverty and the most extreme deprivation and kind of the biggest challenges for development. So in that context, failed states or fragile states belong front and center in international development.
It sounds really complex. One question that comes to mind, though, can it be reversed? Can a state stop being fragile? Alexa Courtney, CEO and founder of Frontier Design Group, had this to say.
I think it's an issue of degree in terms of how corrosive the decay and how complete the fragility is and pervasive it is across institutions. Like, how imploded has the state become? But again, I think thinking about it in the abstract is one thing, and then actually pointing to it out there in the world. There are a number of really excellent indices that rank these countries. And so when you look at the ones that are at the top of the list, there's a qualitative difference in the way those citizens experience their social contract and the profound disruption of their social contract with the state that are at the top of the list and the ones at the bottom of the list.
So now I'm wondering, how fragile states happen? How are they different from countries that are just poor?
Samantha, that is an interesting question. Dr. Raghi Assad from the University of Minnesota has some thoughts on how states can become fragile, although I'm sure it is a little different depending on where it is.
The basis of a lot of the failed states in the region, there is an environmental demographic dynamic that then gets exacerbated by a political system that is unable to handle grievances and people who are being marginalized and dislocated. So there is a complex kind of environmental, demographic, economic, and political nexus that results in these countries becoming failed states.
That is so fascinating. It really highlights how everything is connected. But Dr. Assad's story reminds me of another topic we're supposed to be talking about today, refugees.
Right. We could probably spend the entire time on fragile states, but we should move on. Refugees have been in the news a lot lately, and it seems like many countries don't really want refugees to come to them. Listen to this from Dr. Assad.
I've worked most closely on the issue of Syrian refugees in Jordan, but Syrian refugees are also all over the region. They are going to Lebanon, they're going to Turkey, and through these countries to Europe. So as you said, the numbers, in fact, the numbers of refugees that are displaced in the surrounding countries are much, much larger than the numbers ending up in Europe. We hear a lot more about those who go to Europe because the Europeans make a very big fuss. But if you think about it, there are approximately 1.3 million Syrians in Jordan. There are about 1.8 million in Lebanon. There are 2 million in Turkey. And those are the countries that are really taking the brunt of hosting these refugees.
Man, what a tough, complex situation. What happens to refugees then? Do they ever get to go back home?
I really think it depends on what's going on in their home countries. But let's check in with someone who works closely with refugees, Venetia Spahn of the International Rescue Committee.
Tanzania are prioritizing repatriation. It means that to them, they want to see more and more people going back to their countries of origin than staying in Tanzania. You might want to understand why, because it's political. And the politics behind it is this. When people come in into a country, you don't know the kind of people that come in. You don't know if rebels are amongst those people. You don't know if, you know, you don't know the kind of people that come in. So in order not to be thinking about that, you rather just have everybody go back to their country. That's how some government thinks, isn't it? So, I mean, and recently in these regions where we have refugees, there have been like increase of robberies by immigrants. So you see more and more locals saying, oh, we don't want these people in our territory. The donor, the country wanted to send back asylum seekers, just put us in a very uncomfortable situation because we are not sure about the future of those who go back. Because a lot of people who have gone back actually have come back to the country. Asylum seekers or refugees who have left back to their country of origin and have come back because they face the same kind of persecution and they can't really settle well in the country.
So let me get this straight. Fragile states are the result of political instability or corruption or environmental stress or demographic fluctuations or some combination of those?
Yep, you got it.
And then refugees are often the result of fragile or failed states, and that spreads the problem to other countries too. It's pretty sad and upsetting, isn't it?
It really is. But there are so many people out there trying to help and lots of different ways to get involved. Listen to this from Dr. Alphonse Chiesi from RD University.
You could also do, especially for those people like us who are teaching, we are involved in what we call international collaboration activities. At the moment, we are doing a research in Dar es Salaam, but also we are comparing with Dhaka, Bangladesh. We're also doing some other research which we are comparing between Mwanza and Dar es Salaam and Khartoum. Those are kind of researches which are ongoing to see what is happening elsewhere, comparable purposes.
You know, Lori, as we talk about fragile states and refugees around the world, I can't help but feel pessimistic about the whole situation. While it is so awesome to hear about all the hard work that people are doing around the world to work with fragile states and support refugees, I just have a hard time thinking about anything positive coming out of it all.
I really know what you mean, Samantha. I was thinking the same thing when I researched this topic. But then I heard something else from Dr. Assad that really turned my viewpoint around. And he's been spending years in the Middle East helping with fragile states.
What inspires me is the young people and their involvement in recent years, increasing involvement in politics and in wanting to change the fate of their societies. So the Arab Spring, it has resulted in a generation of young people who feel that they have a stake in the system and who have experimented with political activism, with community activism, etc.
Young people are the future. You are the future. It really just makes me want to start singing that Whitney Houston song, but I will not. Just know that you can do or be any number of things and make this world a much better place. There's really no right answer for what your future could be.
So basically, we need to make sure that we are knowledgeable, strong, and active. Your voice and actions can transform the world.
Well, Samantha, that is all we have today. Join us next week to talk about making your voice heard.
This is Samantha and Lori saying, see you later.